Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
On 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
With Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
All right, let's get to him. He is Jacob Westendorf, lead Packer writer for Athlon Sports, also with Packer Central with Bill Huber. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. Your initial thoughts about that embarrassing loss yesterday against the Bears?
Yeah, it felt like they were caught in the middle. Like, they played guys, but they clearly went into the game with a plan to not play Josh Jacobs very much. He didn't play the second series of the game, for example. Christian Watson wasn't going to play until he was, it sounded like. And then once he was, obviously that's catastrophic. Jordan Love could have, well, he didn't fully say he could have gone back into the game, but he left the game with an injury as well. They rotated some guys in and out. Kenny Clark basically sat on ice from midway through the third quarter until, like, the end of the fourth quarter. It was a very odd approach that felt like, again, they were caught in the middle between wanting to play their guys full throttle and win versus not caring that much about winning, which to me, I don't care what path you take. Now, Matt LaFleur said that the only approach that is really going to end up being the right one is the one that works. He cited doing this in 2021 where they played Rodgers and Adams and those guys for a half. But it didn't work because you lost your best receiver for the season with a, and maybe longer, unfortunately, to an unfortunate knee injury that we got the news on today. And then you lost the game. So not only did you not come out of the game healthy, you didn't build any momentum in the postseason, and you blow a game against a team that hadn't beaten you since, what, 2018? That's quite a while ago.
And it's quite a while ago. And let's talk about a couple of different things here. First off, Matt LaFleur brought up in his presser earlier today that Jeff Hafley and that scheme that they set up where DJ Moore caught that play to set up the field goal for Santos at the end, that there should have been a linebacker that essentially was in the middle that dropped back to kind of take away the middle of the field. How do you screw that up and not get that right?
I don't know. That's not the first time something like that's happened. We all remember the conversation about a miscommunication regarding the Scotty Miller Hail Mary in the championship game against Tampa Bay a few years ago. Again, just kind of a clunky effort all the way around yesterday, and I really think that maybe the weakest portion, other than special teams, which was an abject disaster in the first quarter, but the coaching staff as a whole really has to, and I'm not the guy who blames coaches. I don't blame coordinators a whole hell of a lot, but the coaching staff was awful yesterday. The timeout that LaFleur called ended up saving Chicago like an extra 10-15 seconds because there was a play during that final drive where Caleb Williams got tackled inbounds and they had to call their last timeout. Wouldn't have been available if he had just let Chicago use their last timeout on that final series before the McManus field goal. LaFleur's talked about being indecisive a couple different times this year. It cost them points before halftime against Seattle, for example. Now it costs them a game against Chicago. The consequences weren't as dire because since Washington won, they're headed to Philadelphia regardless of how that game finishes. But now the stakes rise. Like, every game that Green Bay is going to play in from here on out, most likely at least, the head coach he's facing off against is as good or better than him or has coached as good or better than LaFleur has this season. And that starts with this week at Nick Sirianni and Vic Fangio going against LaFleur's offense. He's going to have to be on the top of his game against that, because this is a team that Green Bay, without, especially without Watson and the passing game scuffling, Philadelphia's defense is very, very good. Like, they're going to need the best of Matt LaFleur. They need their head coach to put their young team in a position to succeed.
All this nonsense that I heard for weeks about, oh, they got to let Jordan Love throw the ball more earlier in the game. Get him in his rhythm. Don't run so much early. Well, they tried that, and that obviously was a complete failure in the beginning of this game. I would please like to go back to the offense that we were running, which is running the football. Josh Jacobs is the centerpiece of this. But instead of doing it the way you've been doing it, actually using play-action pass at the rate you should be using it and getting your explosive plays off of that versus hardly using play-action pass, which is what they've been doing.
Yeah, it's odd because they're not a drop-back passing team. You know, when they had Davante Adams and you got a guy who, you know, can just win against man coverage, and he's kind of like it's always the right answer to throw the ball to 17, but he was here those 2 years, especially with LaFleur in 2019 and 20 and even 2021, so 3 years worth. That's just not the way that this team is going to be. None of those guys have blossomed into that. I don't think you need a guy like Adams in your offense, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in the offseason about them needing a receiver, and I do think they need that, but the wide receiver one conversation is about as nauseating to me as anything else. But you're right, Sparky, that this is the way that they're going to have to move the ball down the field, and with a running game as effective as the one that they have, I mean, you would think that play action passing, like, I would be licking my chops as a play caller if I had somebody like Jacobs running for 100, you know, Jacobs in this running game, running for 160 plus yards every single game, because you should be able to kind of easily scheme up some play action opportunities. For whatever reason, they haven't done that.
Talking with our guy Jacob Westendorf, lead Packer writer for Athlon Sports and Packer Central, does that with Bill Huber. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. When we talk about this Packers football team, we talk about going up against Philadelphia and Matt LaFleur. You brought up him going against Fangio, which is fine. But who do you trust more in a big game situation, him or Nick Sirianni?
Nick Sirianni, and I know that seems insane, because Sirianni is kind of like the guy that everyone says is just carried by this immensely talented roster, which there is some truth to that. Philadelphia's roster is very talented, but I have seen Sirianni win a conference title game and go to the Super Bowl. I've seen him come within a botched field goal of playing against or winning that Super Bowl. Now, Matt LaFleur's never done that. If you really look at the list of, you know, pelts on the wall, so to speak, when it comes to, when's the last time a team coached by Matt LaFleur, well, I shouldn't say this, they've won one big game, I think, in my opinion, that they maybe should not have, or was a coin flip, and that was last year against Dallas. Otherwise, the trend for LaFleur's teams, and this isn't solely on Matt LaFleur, but when you're the head coach.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, this is how it goes. The trend for LaFleur's teams has been, especially in the postseason, they beat the teams they're better than, and maybe. Because if they lose to a team like San Francisco in 2021 was not better than Green Bay was, they still lost. Tampa Bay was just as good. They lost. Last year against San Francisco, they had a lead, had a chance to pull it off. They blew it. I mean, that's just kind of the trend that's emerged under LaFleur. And Sirianni has got Vic Fangio, who LaFleur said today was maybe the best defensive coordinator in football. Kellen Moore has done a really good thing. As long as Jalen Hurts is healthy, I mean, if you're the Eagles, you have to be feeling not like this is a gimme, certainly. The Packers are an 11-win team. Let's not make them sound like a 7-9 team that got in the postseason by way of their weak division. They are good, but you got to feel good about your opportunity if you are Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think you feel very good about it. And the one thing that Packer fans continue to look at and say, yeah, well, in this game, you know, the Packers run the football well, so hopefully they can run it well against Philly. And Saquon Barkley didn't tear up the Packers the first time they faced Green Bay. But is this Packers defense possibly in some jeopardy the second time around? Because we know one thing about Halfley's defenses, and that is he doesn't bring a ton of pressure consistently. And we also know if there's a threat of a running quarterback, he gets to be even more conservative than he normally is at this point. To me, this lines up to be at least 30 points by Philadelphia in this game, and they're essentially going to get to pick which way they want to beat the Packers.
Yeah, and it might be that way anyways. I mean, Philadelphia's offense is very talented, and they have, when you have that group of five in front of everybody, that makes everything easier on everyone else. You know, Green Bay has a good offensive line. Philadelphia has a dominant one. And I think that this could be a game where you see the difference in those two things, what that means, and how much that ultimately matters. You know, the question mark for Philadelphia more so is just, is Jalen Hurts healthy? And is, you know, the rest versus rust effect? He hasn't played a game since before Christmas when he left against Washington with a I guess it was a concussion, and he's still in the concussion protocol. So that's kind of the question for that. But again, when you have that, no, Saquon Barkley didn't ruin the game against Green Bay, so to speak. He ran for 100 yards. He caught enough passes. Obviously had a nice touchdown reception as well. But he was still the best player on the field for them that night. Maybe he didn't wreck the game, but he was certainly Philadelphia's best player. I think, yeah, you're right, that Philadelphia has a lot of options. They're going to have that against anybody. Green Bay's key in this game, I think, is going to be kind of what they did in that first game, just they have to capitalize on their opportunities. Be opportunistic. Take the ball away when you can. They had three takeaways in that game. You're going to have to take the ball away against Philadelphia because you're just not going to stop them the traditional way throughout the course of an entire game. And then when you're on offense, the biggest issue that they had the first time they played, they kicked too many field goals in the red zone, and Narvison missed a kick. Like, you can't – the margin for error in the postseason is incredibly thin. It's even more so – like that against what I think is the best team in the NFC right now, considering the injury situation in Detroit.
Do you think this team uses its tight ends enough in the passing game?
No. No, I think they use Tucker Kraft like a gadget player.
Yep.
Like yesterday, his first two targets were like screens, which that's great. Throw him the ball, get it in his hands and see what he can do with it. But then once Jordan Love exited the game, they ran a corner route where he kind of mossed somebody for Chicago. Like, sometimes it's one of those, if the old Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson adage, where it's like, if I could see the back of his helmet, Jordy's open. If you could see the back of the helmet of the guy who's covering Tucker Kraft, then Tucker Kraft is open.
And they don't do it. The other thing they don't do, in my opinion, is they don't go down the middle of the field enough either in this offense. You watch Detroit go down the middle of the field. You watch Minnesota go down the middle of the field. And Green Bay has two tight ends that, in my opinion, can stretch the middle of the field rather consistently between Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. And it just has not ever been a thing so far.
And Jaden Reed. And they haven't really used Reed in that kind of role. I know Reed has struggled with some drop issues and everything like that. But that was a huge part of Green Bay's offensive renaissance down the stretch of last year's run to the postseason, where, you know, you see that game against Chicago, Reed's running these deep dig routes, these deep overs in the middle of the field. Christian Watson, before he got hurt, with somebody. It's kind of strange the way that they've called their offense, considering the way their offense is built. You would think running through the middle of the field with, one, your run game, and then, two, your play-action passing game with those two tight ends, the slot receiver I just mentioned and Reed, and then when they had Watson healthy and available to do stuff like that, you would think that would be the way that it should work, especially when covering the middle of the field is harder than ever.
Yep.
In today's NFL, because safeties can't touch anybody. And that's kind of where the non-cover players, if you will, like Isaiah McDuffie, bless his heart, he's a great player, or a good player for what they've asked him to do, but he's not going to cover a guy one-on-one in space. There's just a lot of space in that area, and you're asking a lot of those players when they're in the middle of the field. So I don't understand why Green Bay, I don't know what their plan with their passing game is, and whatever it is, it's not working.
It doesn't look anything like last year's passing game, Jacob. Not at all.
No, and I don't know that it was going to. I mean, obviously the way they finished was, you know, 2014 Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb-esque, and that was a lot to expect. Rodgers was the MVP of the league that season. But I also didn't – I mean, it's what did Jordan Love say yesterday? It was stagnant. They have a stagnant passing offense, and it's been – problematic. Sometimes Love is on point. He puts the ball on the receiver. They drop it. Or Love doesn't find anybody because there's nobody open and available down the field, or Love just doesn't see him, or he flat misses him. Those are, they're all things that have happened. I mean, I think something that was undersold about a big concern coming out of that Minnesota game, Green Bay didn't have 100 yards passing until the fourth quarter of that game. And, I mean, I know we talked at the top about the run game and everything here, but this is a passing league. For as much as I love Josh Jacobs and the approach that Green Bay has taken as far as wanting to grind the ball and smash your face in, at some point the quarterback has to drop back, has to see the field, and deliver the ball down the field consistently. I'm not saying he's got to throw for 350 in every game in the postseason, but Love has to be in the passing offense as a whole, because it's not just him, has to be much better than what they have been, especially the last month or so of the season.
There he is, Jacob Westendorf. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf, lead Packers writer for Athlon Sports, and of course over there at Packers Central with Bill Huber. Jacob, thank you so much for coming on. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate you, Sparky. We'll do it again.